The Sunday Morning Linux Review, starring Mary Talley, Tony Venus, and Matt Anders as the Beaver.
All right, so this is episode 74, Maryless.
Yes.
That's right. That's because Mary is not here.
No.
It's just Matt and I.
Yes, like the old days. Mary had a death in the family and had to leave town suddenly, so our thoughts and prayers are with her.
That's right. A silence
that's
for her missing.
That's called dead air.
That's a silence for Mary's missing.
Oh, that was the moment of silence.
All right. So things are going on this week. Matt, what was going on with you?
What was going on with me? I don't remember.
Uh-oh.
I really don't remember anything that happened this week. So,
all right. Well, I'll talk and then maybe you'll remember
okay.
something. So I worked extra hours this week, so 10 extra hours. And on top of that, I get a call and from my wife in the middle of the day. She says our clothes washer just blew up and we have water all over our kitchen.
Oh,
and we have a basement. And so the water leaked from the kitchen into the basement. And right below where the water was coming out is one of the laptops that I have.
Oh, no.
It was a laptop computer I set up for Kim's office. And the thing, I picked it up and it was water dripping.
Have you fired it back up yet?
I haven't, but I'm thinking.
Did you dunk it into a big bucket of rice?
No. I just put it in front of a fan and let it sit there for 4 days. So I'm thinking about, I think we should fire it up on the show.
Oh, sounds good. Sounds good.
All right.
We can see if the blue smoke escapes.
Yeah. Maybe when you're in the middle of your kernel section, I'll run and get it.
All right.
And then on top of that, the next morning I go to take a shower and my tub is completely clogged.
Oh, no.
By the time I was done, there was water above my knees when I was taking a shower.
Above your knees?
No, not my knees.
Yeah,
above my ankles.
That's a heck of a tub.
Above my ankles. So I had to come home and get that cleaned out. So that was it was a bit of things going on this week. So I thought I deserve to have a beer during our show.
And I agree. And the one I'm currently drinking is empty. So if
it
you
is.
Could beer me, that would be good. So.
Here we go.
Our thanks go out to
Labatt.
Blue Light Labatt. So, thank you.
And if you want us to continue doing this, just provide us with beer and we'll talk about you more. So currently we're not being sponsored by them. But I'm willing to do it for free beer.
I'll even drink beer on Sunday if they want me to. Sunday morning.
All right. So did you remember anything?
I did not.
Oh, no. All right.
I have nothing.
Except for you guys have an IRC channel now, huh?
Oh, at work. Yeah, I discovered that we have this IRC channel that nobody ever told me about internal to work. I was reading some old documentation, and I mentioned it in it, and I'm like, oh, let me check it out, see if it's still around. So I logged in, and there's a bunch of the senior sysadmins in there just bullshitting.
Wow.
So I will now be in the admin, the IRC at work.
Matt, what's happening with the kernel?
First up, we do have a release candidate on Sunday, the 3rd of March, 2013. At 16:28 Pacific Standard Time, Linus Torvalds released kernel 3.9-RC1. Here's what he had to say about it. I don't know if it's just me, but this merge window had more moments than I'm used to. I stopped merging a couple of times because we had bugs that looked really scary. But thankfully, each time people were on them like paparazzi on Justin Bieber. Special thanks to Peter, Ted, and Raphael. And the people who reported the bugs too, for being so responsive. It could have been so much worse. As usual, there's changes all over the place. We've got two new architectures, MTAG and ARC, and we've got tons of ARM work, as usual, with even more platforms falling under the generic umbrella. MIPS tried to keep up, by doing white space cleanup, but those ARM people with their platform changes kept ahead. And we've got file system updates to just about everything out there, although ButterFS initial RAID 56 code, snapshot work, and FSync performance, and EXT4 hole punching, extent caches, also FSync performance, had the big changes. But most of the updates, about 60%, are on the driver side as usual. The bulk is in GPU, networking, staging, pin control, sound, but it's all over. I mean, he says all over, and then that's the end of the sentence, but I think he means all over the place. So the main line is now 3.1-RC1. The stable updates this week were on March 4th, Monday, 2013, at 6:30, at 06:30 Pacific Standard Time, Greg Gohartman released kernel 3.0.68 with 31 files changed, 287 lines inserted, and 156 lines deleted. And then on Monday, March 4th, 2013, at 06:31 Pacific Standard Time, Greg Gohartman released kernel 3.4.35 with 52 files changed, 318 lines inserted, and 179 lines deleted. And then on Monday, the 4th of March, 2013, at 06:32, Greg Gohartman released kernel 3.8.2 with 80 files changed, 887 lines inserted, and 367 lines deleted. Now, I gave those times as Pacific Standard Time, but I am not sure if that is right, because I think he's at a conference somewhere, and I am not sure. I couldn't find out where he was at a conference, so those times may not be accurate. And then on Wednesday, the 6th of March, 2013, at 13:36 Greenwich Mean Time, Ben Hutchings released kernel 3.2.40 with 171 files changed, 1,634 lines inserted, and 866 lines deleted. And my kernel developer quote of the week comes from none other than Greg Crowhartman. He says, "Two different conversations I had a week ago. Linux kernel developer talking to me at ELC. Him, if you put dbus into the kernel, I'm going to switch to one of the BSDs. Me, sorry to hear that. Good luck. Email sent to me the next day from a BSD kernel developer. Him, as you want to put dbus into the Linux kernel, we probably want to do so as well. Do you have any objection to us doing this? Me, not at all. If there's anything I can do to help out, just let me know. I'm tempted to say something to that first developer now, but I think I'll just sit back and watch this all play out. Greg Crowhartman." So, and that's the kernel.
Tony, what's going on with the Linux distributions this week?
We're going to go back to March 3rd. Last week we ended up with Puppy, and so the next one is PureOS 7.0. PureOS is Debian-based with GNOME or OpenBox as the desktop.
Is that what makes it pure? Is Debian-based?
I think so.
All right.
Continuing on, we have Proxmox 2.3 virtual environment. And they're also Debian-based, but they're a virtualization platform for running virtual appliances and virtual machines, which is pretty cool. Do you know what they use for QEMU and KVM?
Yeah, because that stuff's native. It's in the kernel, so
yeah.
It makes sense.
Yeah, it'd be the one to use. That's cool. The next one, we have Springdale Linux 6.4. And they are...
Now, they're released
formerly known as Pious.
Oh, Pious. Okay. I was going to say, they're at 6.4, and I've never heard of them.
Yeah.
But I have heard of Pious.
Right.
So.
Actually, and if you remember, I used them in my... The Is It Alive? When I did Is It Alive or Is It City?
Oh, yeah.
I used Springdale.
Yes, you did.
Yeah.
Yes, now that I'm thinking about it.
And they're based off of Red Hat 6.4. And then we have Puppy... 5.5 Slacko. So that one is the one that's based on Slackware.
And you notice how it lagged behind the other two.
Right. Yep. Let's see. Development distribution release. I don't even know how to say Canonix.
Canonix.
2013. And they're especially a special edition of Debian based, created for the CeBIT.
Yeah, the CeBIT trade show.
Huh?
Consumer Electronics.
But what is BIT?
I have no idea.
I don't think it's the CE. That's
no.
what you're thinking
no,
about.
No, because that's the CES. That's the Consumer Electronics Show. That's you're right. I have no idea what CeBIT is.
Anyways, Canonix. Oh, it's in Hanover, Germany. That's probably why we don't know anything about it. All right. Going on, we have CentOS 6.4. And as everybody probably knows, CentOS is based on RHEL 6.4. So that's a good alternative to if you don't have the money to pay for a RHEL license.
Yeah, that's what we use at work. It's fantastic software.
Yeah.
We use it for everything.
Yeah, our log server is CentOS also. And that's it for the week.
Nothing else.
I wonder if Distrozilla has anything.
I don't know, but you should check. There were a bunch of changes on Distro Rank this week, too.
Oh, was there?
Yeah.
Oh, there was some. I don't know. Spat.
What do you even say?
I don't know. SPOSKPAT.
What?
Spaskat.
What are you reading?
The Distrozilla.
Oh, okay. That's not Distro Rank.
No, Distrozilla. Okay. That's
Distrozilla is pretty is out there distributions.
That's right. Well, ones you probably haven't heard of, and it's they were released on 3/4 March 4th. And it's a single-purpose operating system, turns any PC into a distractionless patience card game.
A distractionless patience, so it plays solitaire. It's a distribution exactly. that plays solitaire.
Yeah, exactly. AKA Klondike, solitaire, solitarial.
Yeah, that's what patience is. Patience is solitaire.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
That's funny. Wow, I've never seen anybody make a distro just for solitaire.
I know, that's kind of effed up.
Oh, wow. All right.
The distro of the week, according to DistroWatch, calculated by website hits per day.
So at number 5, we have PureOS with 1551.
And trending up.
Number 4 is Ubuntu with 1965.
And trending up.
Number 3 is Magia. With 1939.
And trending up.
Number 2 is Puppy with 2025.
And trending up.
Well, that's the first time they
yeah, end up. They're so high up there because they had those releases last week and now they got the Slacko release this week.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah.
And then in number 1, we have Mint.
Gotta love that minty goodness.
With 3652.
And trending up.
This was a very positive week. Everybody
yes,
was trending
everybody's
up.
Trending up. You don't get trending down until you get down to number 7. And then after that, not until you get down to number 15, who had a release this week, and they're trending down.
Oh, wow. All right. So if we go over to Distro Rank, the top 5 there, we have number 5 is Arch. Number 4 is Debian.
And I believe those two traded places.
Number 3 is RHEL, or Red Hat Enterprise Linux. Number 2 is Mint. And number 1 is Ubuntu.
What are the numbers? How close is Mint to Ubuntu?
9.19.
Yeah.
Or 0.91. Yeah. And then Red Hat is 0.6.
Yeah.
And Debian 0.453, and Arch is 0.433. And then Fedora is even below them. You like your Fedora, Matt?
Yes, I do. I still like my Fedora.
All right. Did you go on there and vote?
On where and vote?
On DistroRank.
No.
Isn't that how they take their stats? No.
No.
Maybe you can bring it up.
No.
With your one
That
vote.
Would involve me voting.
All right. Well, I think that's it for our rankings this week. Normally, we would go on to Mary's DistroReview. But she is missing.
Yes.
That's right. That's why we called the show Sans Mary or
Maryless.
But I think this would be a good time to see if we can see if the laptop boots.
All right.
So this is a Dell Inspiron AMD.
Inspiron?
Inspiron.
Inspiron?
And I have Mint 14 installed on it. So let's see how it goes.
Did it do anything?
No. Getting no power lights. Oh, no. Did maybe plug dead. It in? I have battery is in, but...
I'd plug it in.
All right. I snagged Matt's power. All right, when I plugged it in, it does not attempt to be charging the battery. There's no lights for the battery. Uh-oh. I think my wife's laptop is dead.
It is dead. The laptop's dead. Long live the laptop.
Good thing I didn't pay anything for this thing. Well, I paid in labor. This is the laptop that I traded the 1 month of data recovery.
Oh, no.
It's a decent laptop. It had a gig of RAM.
Well, it was a decent laptop.
Right. All right, let's see. No battery. Let's see if it lights, if it boots. Nothing.
The motherboard's toast.
It's doing nothing. Either it's toast, or I wonder if the contacts for the power switch is corroded, so it won't make the contact.
The only way to tell? Take it apart and find out.
That's right.
But I'm voting motherboard toast. Got it.
All right.
I vote motherboard toast. Who out there votes with me? Vote motherboard toast or corrosion on the contacts. Vote in the IRC and vote now.
Vote often.
No one is voting.
Nobody is.
Oh, well. Maybe that means no one's listening.
Or there's a little bit of a delay. I know our audio, live audio, has a 5-second delay. And I think the Google Hangout has...
About
somewhere
the same.
3 to 5 seconds, yeah. Oh, you know what? Actually, we're using Butt this week. Butt has a 10-second delay. Yeah, Dark Ice, I tried to run that. Ah, John is going for contacts.
Oh, John. John, you're so wrong, John.
All right, that was dead air.
Yes. Mark that time. We'll cut it out.
Yeah, usually by this point, if we both stop talking, Mary starts.
Yes.
We're definitely missing her input on a lot of this.
Yes. It's going to be a really short show.
I know. We're
there's
going to
be
minutes.
No distro review. There's going to be is no alive. Is it alive.
Oh, John could do is it alive.
Johnny, you ready?
Oh. Actually, it probably wouldn't work good at all with a 10-second delay.
We'd have a lot of dead air to cut out.
Right. Anyway, so that definitely will show us how much we are missing Mary. I feel like a college radio show right now.
Yes.
Trying to fill time.
It's time for the tech news of the week.
First up, we have the first sale doctrine is in real trouble. What the first sale doctrine does is limit certain rights of a copyright or trademark owner. The doctrine enables the distribution chain of copyrighted products, library lending, gifting, video rentals, and secondary markets for copyrighted works. For example, enabling individuals to sell their legally purchased books or CDs to others. Well, the Supreme Court right now is hearing a case. Actually, they've already heard it, but they haven't made the decision yet. And it is called Kurtzsang versus Wiley and Sons. That may in fact do away with the first sale doctrine, which was first recognized by the Supreme Court back in 1908. A little background first. Supap Kurtzsang, a college student from Thailand, when he saw the price of textbooks in the U.S., he got an idea. He had his relatives in Thailand, where you can buy the textbooks for about a third the cost of what they go for here.
Oh, yeah.
He had his relatives in Thailand buy and ship him textbooks, which he then resold in the U.S., and he made over $1 million doing this.
Holy cow.
Okay. All was hunky-dory until the esteemed textbook publisher Wiley & Sons saw how much money Supap was making. Then they sued him, claiming that since the books were purchased overseas, that the first sale doctrine did not apply. Well, two courts ruled in favor of Wiley and Sons. So now we are at the Supreme Court. The only thing we can do at this point, other than wait for the Supreme Court, is to get our lawmakers involved. So head on over to the website You've Been Owned. There'll be a link in the show notes. They have a forum that will email your congressman for you. And here's the link, in the show notes. So yeah, it's a pretty important issue. If this passes, first sale doctrine is out the window because everything is made overseas. What's not made overseas? You couldn't sell a laptop anymore that you bought. So, and next up we have, is Canonical destroying the Ubuntu community? After Mark Shuttleworth made comments like this on his blog, one has to wonder, if you've done what you want for Ubuntu, then move on. This is in response to some of the Ubuntu community leaders speaking out. With more comments like this one, that's more important than taking care of the needs of those who don't share our goal. Clearly, Mr. Shuttleworth thinks that what the community wants is insignificant compared to what Canonical wants. I think Mr. Shuttleworth is making it clear that Ubuntu is not a community distribution, but a corporate-driven one. I am not saying this is a bad thing, or that I disagree. I do, however, think how he is going about it is wrong. Red Hat is a corporate distribution, and they make no bones about it. They have a community edition, and it is called Fedora. They are distinct and separate, as it should be. And now, don't get me wrong, when Red Hat first made the Fedora distribution, there were problems. Because for a long time at the beginning, it was Red Hat and corporate and Red Hat community. Mm-hmm. And they both shared the same name. And Red Hat realized that they had to split it up. It wouldn't continue to work. They couldn't be very profitable if they kept it that way. So they split off the community distribution, renamed it Fedora. And it caused some ruffles, some waves, and ruffled some feathers at the beginning when Red Hat first did it. But they got through it because it was a distinct and definite split. The way Mark Shuttleworth is doing it is it's not. So if Canonical wants to be successful, They're going to need to move in this direction, not having a corporate distribution built around a fake community, which is what they're trying to do, which is what they do now. And a listener of ours, Scott Dowdle, wrote an excellent blog post on this, and there'll be a link to his blog post in my show notes. I had a conversation with him via email about it after I wrote this, where he pointed me at his blog post, and I just wrote something about that, so... So yeah, he goes into much more detail, and he actually does a much better job than I do. So I recommend you read his blog post.
All right. Yeah, and he actually just got on our IRC channel.
Oh, did he?
He thought we started at 6 Central Time.
No, Detroit is in the Eastern Time Zone.
Yeah.
So, and also there's an article on Linux BSD DOS that I saw today, called Ubuntu is not a community distribution. It talks about the same thing. And so that link will also be in the show notes, and it's at LinuxBSDDOS. So, and then next up, we have Shuttleworth says Kwin and Mir a go. Not so much, according to the Kwin maintainer.
Uh-oh.
The KDE community was shocked this week by a statement from Mark Shuttleworth in which he claimed that Kwin will work just fine on top of Mir. The reason this statement came as a shock was because Kwin maintainer Martin Grosslin said that after the Wayland controversy, he won't be supporting Mir and will veto any attempt to support it.
Really?
He went on to say this, "But I have doubt that Kwin will work just fine on top of Mir, and I have already stated so. You might have wanted to check the facts before stating such claims. Somehow I get the feeling for a pattern here." He then goes on to state some specifics. 1. Currently the number of commits to Kwin by a Canonical employee, 0. 2. No Canonical employee has so far contacted the Kwin team on how we could integrate Mir and whether we are interested at all in integrating Mir. 3. I have to question the abilities of Canonical to judge what other software can do and cannot after Canonical argued with non-existing issues in Wayland for Mir.
Hmm.
And four, we are still waiting for the Wayland adjustments for KDE done by Canonical. So, yeah, not happy. So, finally, he told Shuttleworth not to talk about Kaywin. Keep Kaywin out of the pro-Mir campaign. I didn't ask for Mir. I don't want Mir. And reading blog posts like the one which triggered this reply does lower my motivation to ever have anything to do with Mir. Mir is an answer to a question nobody asked. It is a solution to a problem which does not exist. So, yeah, the Kaywin people not on board, regardless of what Shuttleworth says.
Ah. So we're talking about Mir. And I don't think we've ever talked about Mir on a show before.
Nobody has. Nobody's ever heard of the window, the X server Mir before this entire controversy.
Right. Well, so it's technically it's a replacement for X.
Yes.
Kind of like Wayland is a replacement for X.
Right.
And then you can run the, so it gives you the graphical environment to run in.
Correct.
Yeah.
Because originally they were going to go with Wayland. And
right.
And now they've decided to go with Mir that no one has heard of.
So what is the controversy that they're talking about between Mir and Wayland? I mean,
there's no real controversy between those two projects.
No, because I mean that's what the guy from what did you say? The guy from Kaywin
said
after the controversy between Wayland and Mir, he didn't want to support Mir, or maybe the controversy over Wayland. So I'm thinking, what is it that Ubuntu didn't, or Canonical didn't want to use Wayland for some reason, and they just decided to spin off their own?
They never said they were behind Wayland. They were behind making a move to Wayland.
Yeah.
And they committed to making changes to help KDE work on Wayland. And now they're going to go with Mir. So he says, I'm still waiting for the Wayland changes. Sarcastically, meaning he's never going to get them.
Right.
You know.
Well, what is Kaywin?
It's core KDE stuff.
Oh, okay. So it's a like an open source. Is it project, right, or is it a foundation?
KDE.
Or okay,
it's part of KDE.
All right,
I'm not sure exactly what part.
Yeah,
I think it has to do with the window manager part, but I'm not sure.
That would make sense. Cool.
So, and that's all I have for the news.
That is. You were talking earlier. I thought you said you had something about Microsoft.
No.
I found something that I'm just glancing through the headlines, and it says Microsoft releases the Kinetic code to open source.
The what?
It's Kinetic. So, you know, in for Xbox, was
the
it 36? Kinect. Oh, that is a Kinect. So, so you can do like the movements
and stuff.
And it watches you. Oh, they have now open sourced that code.
Have they put it under a real open source license, or did they use that stupid Microsoft open source license that's not really open source?
Let's see. Well, they moved 22 portions of the Kinect code for performing a variety of functions, including face tracking, audio capture, slideshow gesturing, and green screen effects. It's a combination of C# and C++ and Visual Basic, and it's under the Apache 2.0 license.
Oh, so they opened under a real open source license.
Yeah.
Imagine that.
Right. But on Wednesday, the Microsoft developer Ben Lauer posted it on his blog. So, yeah, check it out, people, especially if you're into the tracking stuff with cameras. I found another link. This open source robot bartender pours the perfect mix.
Really?
Yeah, and I'm looking at it. There's a picture of this like thing over a bunch of bottles, and it has tubes going into the bottles, and it all goes to one spot. And so it's going through and controlled. It has little things that tells it how much to pour in, and it can mix your drinks for you.
What, you type in a drink and it makes it?
Yeah. Bartender, beware. The robot drink dispensing rig is aimed to steal your customers while pouring cocktails creations at the push of a touchscreen button.
could eliminate the human bartender. Waitresses can pour their own drinks and everything.
Yeah. Yeah, they just go up there, hit unwind.
Yeah, I want a Mai Tai or
yeah,
whatever.
Sex on the Beach or whatever. Yeah, hit the button and it goes and does it all for you. And there's a little video on the website. It'd be kind of cool to have at home. So you don't have to be the bartender. You can have a bunch of friends over and they can just choose whatever drink they want. That'd be fun.
Everybody's getting blottoed.
That's right.
Except the only problem with parties like that is you have to take away everyone's keys. And
yeah.
And they got to breathe in the breathalyzer before you give them back. And if they blow too high in the breathalyzer, then you got to get out the sleeping bags.
Yeah. Well, that's what you should just have your sleeping bags all ready to begin with. Everybody can just hang out.
Oh, okay.
It may end up being a big orgy, but
I don't know about all that.
Anyway, so I thought that looked cool. The bartender. It kind of goes along with the kegerator. Have you ever seen those?
Yeah, it's a refrigerator that's got a keg in it.
Yeah, but then you hook up a computer to it, and then somebody walks up, and they either have barcode or thumbprint or RFID or whatever to identify them, and the computer can tell how much to give them. You know, you can set, like, this person gets a 6 ounce or this person gets a 16 ounce, and then they can track how many times you get beer throughout the hour, and you can say you can only get 3 beers in an hour and cuts them off until the next hour mark.
Did you know you can only have 1 beer an hour to remain not drunk?
To remain not drunk, yes. But if you that's right. So if you say you can only have 3, then you can get drunk, but you're not getting wasted.
All right.
For most people.
Right, right.
But for the person that gets wasted easily, you just say you have 1 an hour.
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
I never saw those.
Yeah, I had a friend 5 years ago. He was talking about building one. Now you can do it out of Raspberry Pi. Yeah, today during the log meeting, we had Raspberry Pi Day.
Yeah, we had three people brought their Raspberry Pis.
Yep, I brought mine, and I was showing off OpenELEC.
Yeah.
And then...
And Gibby had just the basic Raspbian on his.
Yep.
And that other guy had his there, but he had no OS loaded on it.
Right. Yeah, very cool. Yeah, he said he actually uses...
they use it as work.
The Debian XBMC edition. Yeah. And with the Raspberry Pi B... He says it runs really good.
Yeah, yeah.
And they have them all over the place to run TV videos or whatever on the TVs.
Yeah, to run their videos at work. I'm not sure exactly what videos they're watching at work. But
right. He wasn't very clear. I wonder if it's like promotional videos or something.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
So Mary's missing, so we have no KDE Corner.
We have no KDE Corner.
But we do have a toolbox.
We do have a toolbox.
Tools from the toolbox.
Not really a tool, but a scripting trick. It says, I have a simple rule about running complex commands for system administration. If you're doing it more than 3 times, script it. Another one is, if you have to run it regularly, use cron.
Yeah.
Now, for the trick. If for some reason your script runs fine when you run it manually, but fails when you run it by cron, you can fix this by just changing the first line of the script to, instead of just pound bang slash bin slash bash, to pound bang slash bin slash bash dash L. And what that L argument does for you is it makes it use an actual login shell. So if your usual login sets a lot of environment variables, this can quickly solve a multitude of problems that may occur when you're not using the login shell and not getting those environment variables set.
Oh, yeah. I didn't think about that.
Yep.
That's pretty cool. Yeah, you know, a lot of people call that pound exclamation, they call it hash bang.
I'm sorry. I call it pound bang.
yeah. You know, I was watching a video yesterday, and I think a while ago you were referring to dashes as something else, like a clip or a something. No,
I don't remember.
But I was watching a video. Somebody started doing that. What do they call it?
I forget. I have called them other
things. A snip or something like that.
I don't know. I don't remember. I've called them other things. But now it's a dash.
It's a dash. Yeah.
It's a dash.
As it should be.
At work, they bust my chops all the time because I say CLI. They're like, it's not CLI, it's CLI. Because we use this tool called Mega CLI. They all call it Mega CLI. And I'm like, it's Mega CLI.
That's right. That's like three syllables you don't have to say.
That's right.
Two.
That's right.
Yeah.
You know? So, anyway, that was the toolbox.
Cool.
So, and we've added a new banner on our website.
Yeah, and to go along with your story about the reselling of things.
Right.
Can you explain a little bit more about the whole idea behind that? Because it goes to more of just reselling things.
It's actually just reselling things.
No, you've been owned. So it's even on used items that you've used for a while and you want to sell it.
Right, reselling anything.
Okay.
Whether it's used or whether you buy it new and you're reselling it, it's still reselling it.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's anything. So it's even if you no longer need your tablet you bought a year ago and you bought a new one and you want to sell it, then they want to, what is it? What do they want to do with it?
They want to keep you from selling it. They say you can't sell it. You don't have the right to sell it.
There's like entire markets derived around this.
eBay will be gone. Yeah, there will be no more eBay.
Craigslist.
Unless you're buying a quilt.
Right. Craigslist?
Craigslist, done. Except to find a roommate.
That's pretty bad.
Or have sex with somebody anonymously.
Or have you heard about those, missed encounters? Or what do you know what that's?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, that's crazy.
So. Yep.
Yeah, so it's bad. So we put a banner on our website. And was it last September they had a day to bring awareness to it?
Yeah, it was in October. I think it was in October. It was when the Supreme Court was actually hearing the case.
Yeah.
They've already heard it. Now they're just going to decide it. But they have a link on their website or a form you fill out on the website, and then it will use your zip code to email your congressman.
Very cool. I'm going to do it right now.
That makes for good radio.
Tony Bemis. My email is tony@smlr. Address is, not going to say it online.
Why not, Tony? So, while Tony's filling that out, I guess I'll vamp. Vamp, vamp, vamp.
Submit. Done. See, it was that easy. I did it in, 30 seconds? Less than that.
There you go.
Demand progress. Sign up. So, yes, we have a banner on our website, the upper left corner. And go ahead and join us. Yeah, because that's a very bad thing.
It is a horrible thing. I can't believe that two lower courts have already sided with Wiley & Sons. It boggles my mind.
Yeah. I can see, like, in some markets having certain rules for that. But to come out and completely ban all reselling is really bad. That's just, I mean, that's a majority of the small businesses, you know. That's all they do is they can get used equipment or used items and resell it.
Yes.
You know, and what about all these resale shops, you know, and used bookshops?
Done.
That's horrible.
The biggest secondhand bookstore in the United States is where?
Detroit?
Yes.
I've been there. King Books?
Yeah.
Yeah. That is huge.
It is huge.
It's like two warehouses.
Yes.
And what, four floors? Or
yeah.
Six floors? Yeah.
And he'll have to close up shop.
Man. The whole antiques market would be gone.
Well, I don't know about antiques.
Well, technically, you know, if
they're not, because they're not copyrighted or patented, really. It only covers copyrighted or patented materials.
Oh, I see. That's still bad.
Yes.
It's listener feedback time.
And we have a listener feedback line. And that number is
313-338-8980. So no, is it alive?
No, is it alive?
We have some listener feedback, though.
Oh, listener feedback. I forgot about listener feedback. We do have some listener feedback.
We have actually quite a bit for this week.
Yes, we do.
starting off on Sunday.
We have one from Scott Dowdle.
Yep, he was talking about Screen.
Yeah.
And he agrees with me about TMUX.
Well, he's wrong, just like you are.
No, it's much better. Then there's a video on there. We'll put the link to the video on our website. So a video about how Screen contrasts to TMUX. And see, well, the biggest thing that I was shown with TMUX and Screen is that when you start splitting the actual viewing screen that you have into multiple terminals, with Screen you can only say half, and then bring that, you know, and so you can have eight monitors go, or eight terminal sessions running all that you can view, and it's like half the first one, half the other two, and then half those again. And in TMUX, you can, it doesn't have to be half, it can be a percentage of the screen. And so you can have a small one going on the side that you're going to run a couple commands in, and have a big one running on the right that you're going to be watching a log file or something. Or, you know, up and down or anything, combinations of those. So it doesn't have to be exactly half of the current space.
I don't know. I use one screen at a time.
I use multiple screens, but I don't show them all. I usually have them where I rotate through
them. Well, yeah, I have. But whenever I have multiple screens running, I have them running on multiple servers usually. It's not all on the same server.
Well, it's not the same. You don't have multiple screens. You have multiple,
and multiple
server connections.
Right, with a screen running in each one of them.
That's just so in case you get disconnected, it keeps on running?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's a complete legitimate way to use it. Yeah, I think it's good. What else did we have?
So that was from Scott. And then we had from Brad, says, feedback. His is really long. And it's about backups and Tony's use of crash plan.
Oh, yes. Very cool. Yeah, and he's given the exact information I was looking for. All it does is connect the two together to authenticate them. And what I was looking for is whether it was authenticated before it leaves your computer. Or not authenticated, whether it was encrypted before it leaves your computer. And he says it is. So I'm good with it then. You know, I mean, as long as it's encrypted before it hits the internet, that's exactly what you need. Especially, I mean, if you're doing off-site backups, that's what you want. Because anybody can hack into the stream in the middle and start stealing all your data.
Right.
It's not just whether the person can view it on the other end. The internet is a treacherous area.
Treacherous. Treacherous. And then we have another one from David, also about crash plan.
Really? I didn't see two of them.
It's to show. It's from David Ellis. He says, hello again, guys. I wanted to put in my 2 cents on crash plan.
David Ellis? Oh, I didn't even see that one. Or was that the one I saw and I didn't see the feedback one? Oh, no, that's... I got him backed up. I got him confused. Maybe. No? It was the David Ellis one is the one I had responded to him to tell him that's what I was thinking about.
So you did not respond to the feedback one from Brad.
That's right. Sorry, Brad.
Who I had responded to and Mary had responded to.
I'm really bad during the week about responding to emails. Yeah, Matt and Mary usually has a whole conversation before I even see the emails come through.
So Brad wanted to say that he likes backup PC. And he's been using it for 5 years. And it works great, and the compression's great. He has 78 full backups that are backing up 1,145 gigabytes prior to pooling and compression. So that turns into something like 591 gigabytes.
Wow, that's pretty good.
Yes. So. Yes, and he borrows my curmudgeon hat for a second or two when he says... internal backups. He starts talking about internal backups and crash plan, and I trust that any of the cloud services, he says he doesn't trust any of the cloud services because of snooping, as well of the fact that once it's out of your control, it's no longer your data, which is what I say all the time.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah. So, thank you very much, Brad. And then we had from Rainey. Rainey is how he signed up on our website, but it's actually Rain Man is what his email is. And he wants to say that...
possible distro review.
Yes, he recommends a distro to Mary called Solid XK. SolydXK. And Mary actually replied to him, and she had gotten down, she downloaded the live CD and was running it, and it was looking good, but then she had to go out of town. So I envision that being a distro review not too far in the future. And thank you very much for your suggestion of that distro review.
Yeah, thanks.
So.
And yesterday, Scott emailed us again.
Again?
So, our, yeah.
Yes, he did.
And I didn't get to read it because I didn't touch my email since. So what did you say, Matt?
That was when he was... He's
thoughts on Canonical.
Yeah. It's on that Canonical thing, and I already pointed the listeners to his blog post. The link will be in my show notes. So, because he did a much better job than I could. So,
yeah.
Thank you very much for that, Scott.
We had a comment on a few weeks ago on the IRC about the show quality and stuff, and he's listening to us on the audio broadcast, and he says it's pretty good. The differences are...
the audio stream, you mean?
Yeah, the audio stream. And we're streaming at 64-bit,
right.
Or 64K, and when we release the show, it's at 32K. And it's mono instead of stereo.
Right.
And we mainly do that to get audio file down. And he was asking whether we could do like a high def and a low def, or a high def and a regular show, and that's too much work for me.
So it's just the low def.
That's right. So there you guys go. And one more thing, that we are changing our voicemail number.
We are.
Yep, Mary got the Google number.
Do you have it?
It is. It is 313-338-8980. I don't know if she, does that like spell out something, or 338?
Probably not.
Probably not. When I looked up for, I got a Google number for my business.
Yeah.
And I either wanted to spell something or have like a pattern on the keyboard.
Right.
So it's easy to remember, or, so it's like an arrow pointing down.
Did you do that on purpose?
I found one that happened to do that. So I'm like, hey, it makes a pattern, so I'm good with that. So our number again is 313-338-8980. Well, I guess there's a pattern of eights in there. And threes.
And a zero.
And a zero. And a nine.
And a one. You got there.
I forgot about that. Yeah.
So, that's all I have, Tony.
That's all I've got, too.
Featured music of the week.
It's The Other Side of Life by Race Car.
Nothing wrong with a bush or three, just a bed down for the night. Said living never was my cup of tea. You can't keep me satisfied. Finger licking got me dipping in the grease. Ain't a sin in going down. Well, you'd do it too if you had it hanging round. When never will I let another come again between me and my friend the bottle. Cause I'm getting older, but the girls stay young and wild. Oh, yabba-dabba-doo, that's right, I'm high on life, rooting in the lost and found. And won't you join me as a bit of duty, being that chained and bound? yabba dabba do, that's right, I'm doing fine. Just taking in the sights, cause I'm headed up for the other side line. People say there are bills to pay, but for now I'm worry-free. I can't stand around and think about my better days. It's the future that I see. The wolf is knocking here, I'm talking about the ways you can keep a good man down. Well, you'd be a fool if you kept on hanging around. When never will I let another come again between me and my friend the bottle. Cause I'm getting older, but the girls stay young and wild. Oh, yabba dabba do, that's right, I'm high on life, rooting in lost and found. When won't you join me as a bit of do to be a neck chained and bound? Yabba dabba do, that's right, I'm doing fine. Taking in the sights, cause I'm headed up for the other side of life. Ah, yabba dabba do, that's right, I'm doing fine. And lost and found, well, won't you join me as a bit of duty to be a neck chained and bound. Ah, yabba dabba do, that's right, I'm doing fine. Taking in the sights, cause I let her up on the other side of life. Because I'm headed up for the other side of life.
So, Matt, I heard you laughing. What's going on?
Oh, I'm talking to Scott about Linux users in Montana.
Oh, that's
where Scott's from.
Oh, yeah. He has that Montana Linux distro, right?
Well, no. It's a blog, Montana Linux.
No, he has the distro that from the university he works at, right?
Didn't he work.
He emailed us at...
I don't think so.
I swear...
Maybe he did.
All right. You got to tell us, Scott, did you email us about your Montana Linux distro at the university you're working with?
You have to tell us in the IRC. And we realize there's a delay, so in 20 seconds we'll get the response.
Yeah, he says, yeah, I have a personal remix of Fedora.
Oh, yeah, it's a remix. It's not a distro.
So he calls it Montana Linux.
Oh, jeez. Does not count.
He had it released with the new version of Fedora before Fedora was released. But on your, what you're saying... Yeah, he in his email, he did say that. It's not a distro, it's just a remix.
Yeah, see, I didn't think the world needed another distro. Good man. If that's all we have for the show, Tony, we should probably wrap it up.
Yeah, I guess we do. All right. So, you've been listening to the Sunday Morning Linux Review. This is episode 74.
Merryless.
This is Tony Bemis.
Matt Enders. Saying, have a good week. See you next week.